Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, we have a Saturday night service. I'm still there, I guess. This morning, our text is Matthew chapter 9, the call of Matthew. And I want to train everybody a phrase. When I say Matthew, I want you to think right away of the words, the tax collector. So let's practice. Matthew, the tax collector. Excellent. Now, some of you know what that means. We're going to get there in a minute, but I want to notice something that's fun about this text. The text is the call of Matthew. The Lord Jesus Christ calling Matthew to salvation. Now, the call of Matthew, the tax collector. What book did I read this in? The Gospel of Matthew. So here's a trick question for you. Who wrote the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew, the tax collector. So here's what's fun about it. The text is about the conversion of Matthew, but it's in the book of Matthew written by Matthew. And I always delight in that. It's wonderful if anyone comes to faith, but the delight is that Matthew is sort of saying, like, yeah, me too, right? Me too. Because people hated tax collectors. And a lot of people would have thought, if anybody's beyond salvation, it's this guy. And so Matthew writes a book and includes in it his own conversion so that we can read about the conversion of Matthew in the Gospel of Matthew that was written by Matthew. It's fun, right? I think he's like waving the flag a little bit. I'm saved. No. That's chapter 9. I want to back up just a little bit. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus called the fishermen. Remember that? Much earlier in the gospel. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus having gone through the temptation in the desert, his own baptism and all that kind of stuff. And then he calls disciples, and the first thing he does is call four fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John. And everybody thought that was perfectly fine. Right? Fishermen are not hated. The Bible tells us elsewhere that these fishermen had workers, so they're really small businessmen. They're respected members of the community. The Bible tells us that John knows the high priest. So when Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John, everybody said, yeah, I get that. That makes sense. They're good, decent people like me. So, of course, he called them to faith. But when Jesus called Matthew, a lot of people thought, no, Lord, not him, right? Now, if you've heard very many sermons or if you've read Bible commentators, you know that when I say a tax collector was hated, I do not mean the way we hate the IRS. I don't mean, you know, we all think taxes are too high, and they are, but Roman taxes were very high, but it wasn't just the taxes. In the New Testament, a tax collector is a Jewish man who works for the Romans. You see? So the Romans conquer us. The Romans are oppressors. The Roman taxes are very high, and we hate the Romans ruling us, and you work for them. But you're one of our people, and you're betraying us. I mean, that kind of hatred. So a tax collector is a traitor. But the other thing is, a tax collector is rich. And he's rich because he cheats. Always. Tax collectors always wealth. Now here's the crazy thing. People would think, I'm going to be a tax collector and be rich, but then what happens? You're rich. No one likes you. People will not invite you to their house. They will not go into your house. You are not welcome to attend the synagogue. You're not a decent person. So imagine calling the fishermen. We got it. Jesus loves people like me. Calling a tax collector, Lord, no. But Matthew chapter 9 says that Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. The coming of Matthew to faith is very brief. Jesus says, follow me, and Matthew got up and followed him. That's the whole text of his conversion. That it's so quick goes to show you that the Holy Spirit was at work. Matthew's not a good guy. But imagine the presence of Jesus. And Jesus says, I want this man in the kingdom. And he calls him and he goes. That's a great text. That's a nice text for all us sinners. Now, not everybody thought so. I want us to get that, right? Not everybody thought so. There's always the Pharisees. The Pharisees in their self-righteousness, they always look at other people as being beneath them, and they think, Jesus, you should never bring salvation to a man like that. And they don't think it, they say it. So Jesus, first of all, invites Matthew into the kingdom. That was an offense. But worse than inviting him into the kingdom, Jesus went to his house. And everybody's definitely shaking their heads like, you don't enter his house. You don't have fellowship with a man like that. Now remember I said, most decent people would never hang out with a tax collector. But it says that when Jesus has this meal, there's a bunch of people here. What kind of people? All the worst people in town. That's the only people that would hang out with Matthew. Not normal people, the worst people. And so the Pharisees literally say it. Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? That's what they're saying, right? If this is the Messiah, why does he hang out with those people? That's the point. By the way, it's kind of funny to preach this text. It's not hard to get what's going on. Jesus has said, yes, these people. My love, the Pharisees don't confront Jesus, right? The Pharisees don't criticize Jesus to his face. They criticize Jesus to his disciples. Nowadays, we call that triangulation. Right? If I have a problem with you, but I don't talk to you, I talk to somebody else about you. They have a problem with Jesus. They talk to the disciples. But I love that Jesus is the one who answers. Jesus gets their silly game. And so he says, as he often does in a fun, pithy little phrase, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. That's a great phrase. Every time I read it, I'm mindful of this. Men of the congregation, most of us do not like to go to the doctor. Am I right? Most of us, your wife has to club you over the head to get you to the doctor. Now, here's a reality. There's a time to go to the doctor. That's just a public service announcement right there, that part. But what's Jesus really saying? He's saying we're all sick. You see what he's saying? All of us are sick. And he says that because the Pharisees have fallen into an ancient trap. It's a trap from the devil. And the trap is to think that there's little sins and there's big sins. And if there is such a thing as little sins and big sins, guess which kind I commit? I commit little ones. Right? And I know to say, God, I'm a sinner. But what I mean in the back of my head is, but I sin a little less. Right? And what we typically think is, what does somebody else's sin count as? There are big sins. Why do people do these terrible big sins, Lord? I thank you that I am not like other men. Right? The Pharisees have fallen into that trap. And Jesus says, we're all sick. And if you're sick, you need a great physician. Right? There he stands with them. Now, he says a couple other things. I've not come to call the righteous but sinners. I love that he's doing a word play, right, on their words. They said, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And Jesus says, I'm going to use your language. But I didn't come to call the righteous. What he really means is, I didn't come to call the self-righteous. Right? The self-righteous don't think they need a redeemer. And if they don't need a redeemer, they're self-excluded. Right? No. He hasn't come to call those people, but he has come to call sinners. Which kind of sinners? All of them. Big sins, little sins, socially acceptable sins, socially frowned upon sinners. Jesus is coming to say, I don't care about your background. He's going to Matthew, the tax collector, saying, I don't care what you've done. I want you to know life and salvation in me. That's what he's saying. It's a great text, right? It's a great text. Now, a fun other thing that he says. I said what he said at the beginning and at the end. He says this, quotes our Old Testament lesson, Hosea 6. Hosea, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now here's the crazy thing that Jesus does. He doesn't tell them what that means. You kind of scratch your head. Because I'm going to read the text. This is what he literally says. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. Now here's the crazy thing. He doesn't define. What does that mean? Why doesn't he define it? He wants us to wrestle our way through it, right? That Jesus is saying, I want you to engage with the Word of God. He wants us to know life and salvation in Jesus the Christ. But he's saying, I want you to engage with the Word of God, and I want you to chew on it. I want you to meditate on it. I'm not going to always tell you the answer. Isn't that a great little phrase? It is funny to chew on that. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, says the God who commanded those sacrifices, right? What does that mean? You have to think on that. But Matthew says, salvation has come to me. That's what he's saying. Last thought this morning. It's great news that Jesus called Matthew the tax collector. He did more than call him. Isn't it awesome that God inspired Matthew to write part of the Bible? We got to remember that. What did Matthew do for a living? Matthew the what? The tax collector. What do people think about the tax collector? Despicable. And he wrote part of the Bible? Yeah. Isn't that fun? Can you imagine God, the Holy Spirit, saying to Matthew, here's a fun thing. Matthew quotes the Old Testament more than all the other Gospels. So this man, despised by his own people, actually knows the Old Testament, comes to faith in Christ, and says, I want others to know about this one. That's good stuff, huh? If God can save Matthew, can he save us? Yeah. Right? It is Confirmation Sunday. I just want to say real quick, and I say this every year, it's a delight to teach confirmation. We do confirmation in the 5th and 6th grade, and every week the kids show up ready to learn. Well, most weeks they show up ready to learn. God called Matthew, and Matthew walked with Jesus all of his life. He was actually martyred for his faith. And our prayer is that every confirmand, every year, this year, Aiden, to walk with Jesus all your life, to read the Gospels, to see how God has worked in their lives, and to say, God, work in me. Right? Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.